Oh my. That's Fatten Scruggs, if I'm not mistaken. This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto. And I guess we have to say something about the problems circulating around the developments in Ukraine, because the Prime Minister's on the front page. He doesn't have his elbows up for U.S. anymore, as you know. He's decided that we will probably have our wings clipped a little bit and we'll mind our own business and be told what our business is as soon as the U.S. can get around to it. But he did fly over to stand alongside Mr. Zelensky. Why he did it is beyond me, because we watched the leaders of Europe all sit like school children at Donald Trump's feet. And he told them things which everyone had told us, that the mighty Europe was going to do with this and it was going to do that. And they all sat again like school children, and Trump looked at them. He knew that, of course, this is simply a photo op, and there was no naysayer in the room. Everyone behaved. President Zelensky wore his suit, and he was made fun of by the Trump media folks who now take up the room. It used to be occupied by American liberal journalists who are just as bad in their own way. But at any rate, they said, oh, we see you're wearing a suit. And the man who allegedly is the leader of Ukraine said, yes, but you have a better suit than I do, to the guy who asked the question. So we were left on the level of comedy, and everyone had a good laugh. This is a very peculiar time, but it's not a time that the Prime Minister ought to be saying that he's ready and willing to join the willing, when the willing all showed up at the White House. You have to, as the old expression is, grin and bear it, because it's all show. And the notion that Canada would send troops, they'll send troops if Trump says he wants them to send troops. They're not going to do it otherwise. I do recall listening to General Dallaire talk about moving troops. And it was one edifying expression he used was that you can't move a great, you can't say you're going to go somewhere with and deliver peacekeepers or peacemakers unless somebody provides you transportation, because he said you have to have lift. That is, somebody has to have the kind of aircraft with range, fuel, security, fighter planes, and everything else that it takes to take a troop plane one place or another. And it's no knock on Canada that doesn't have that capacity. It's only, we're a country, 35, 40, if you want, million people, if you want to say that. We're not actually permitted to have a large military. The Americans have always insisted that they be a subservient force. And so really talking about military affairs should be on the bottom of the list of anybody running the country, because we are at the table when asked and the orders are given by others. You know you're a bigger country when you can push your way around, which is, as anyone watching Trump will get a demonstration of what we mean by that, the ability to shove, yank, push is the name of the game. When World War I was in its latter stages and America came into the war, they have a tendency to show up late. That's because it's for the locals to do and die. And the knockout punch is supposed to come from when Washington knows they can't lose. So when they sent their, I think they called it an expeditionary force under Black Jack Pershing. How he got the name Black Jack, I don't know. But General Pershing arrived, and he was met by a British officer, commander, and a French commander, and they said, well, we're really glad you're here. And by the way, they were glad, because they did, actually, it was a short conflict for the Americans, but they did lose a lot of personnel, and they did actually make a major contribution for the final phase of World War One. But to go back, so they said to General Pershing, you brought this, you have this number of soldiers under your command, and they will be in this theater of the war, and they will be under General so-and-so. And Pershing said, no, they won't. Nobody is, I'm not under anybody. I'm here, I have my forces, and we'll determine where I go. But no American soldiers are under a foreign command. End of story. So you see, that's when you say, well, we're sending somebody, and that means you're sending them on your, under your volition, your authority. And when Carney talks about it, he's talking within the peculiar construct called NATO, and he is not going to do anything, send anybody anywhere, until that is agreed to in Brussels, and primarily Washington. It's very important to know, I'll remind everyone of the of this theater. Trump, thanks to Trump, we have this theater where he's like a guy running a vaudeville show. He drags people up on the stage, he pats them on the back, he holds them up, he says they're great, then he takes a hook and removes them, and he pulls the next guy up. So think of the NATO. They brought the nominal leader of NATO, this new gentleman, I forget which country he's from, perhaps it's Norway, I'm probably wrong about that, but what was striking was that Trump had him in the White House. If you have not heard it, you weren't watching. You have to get this, know that he did this. He said, well, we're very glad to have him here. And of course, he began to grin and smile at all the reporters. And Trump says, and then he looked over at him. And he said, this is the new leader. You're the new leader of NATO. He says, you don't know how hard I worked to get you that job. And the man smiled and blushed. And he said, I hope there's a tape of this that I can give my family. So he's the head of NATO. And Trump told the world, he says, he's basically saying, I chose him. This is my man. Now, the next time I saw him at the White House, they were talking about how Trump had, he's sitting there. Trump uses people as props. So he had this prop, the guy head of NATO sitting beside him. And he said that he was unhappy. They asked him about, what about Hamas and Netanyahu? And he said, said some nasty things about these gentlemen. And you say that you're impatient with them, and that you actually took steps against them. I forget what the punitive steps Trump had taken. But Trump acknowledged that he had, and that he was, had done something that the press thought was rather cruel, I guess, to both Hamas and Netanyahu. And then someone asked the NATO man, who was sitting in the chair grinning, they said, asked him for a comment. And his comment was, sometimes daddy has to spank. Spank, S-P-A-N-K. Daddy being Donald Trump. And so this is the farcical situation that we are in, and Canadians ought to be really a kind of, they ought to be thinking of words like neutral, see if we could get that status, because our own leaders tell us that they've had agreements with Trump and they don't work out and they can't trust him, and which is a common opinion worldwide, which is the problem of having peace agreements and signed deals and done deals, et cetera, is that the U.S. position is very fluid, and it seems to be almost of that kind of character that you start thinking of Nero and Caligula and others, where it really depends on the mood of the individual who's seems to be in charge. And, you know, if you're in the ranks, you ought to probably be quietly looking for the exit, or find a way to step back and say, I'm not party to this. I know that that is not considered an option, but if you were rational and want to preserve the population, style of leadership emanating from Washington, when he says, come into the house, I'm building a special security thing and I'm going to let you in and out, and you can pay for part of the house that I'm going to make secure, I would think, one, I wouldn't want to be in the same house with him, and then two, magical defenses always end up incinerated by somebody. If you can look at the look up Maginot Line, which made France absolutely secure, and then they were overrun and in a very short order collapsed. But this is something Canadians think like Canadians and say, we don't want to be a party to this. We try to become more like Mexico, where Mexico at least is never invited to be part of NATO, doesn't want to be in NATO, and actually has had its sufficient experience with the United States that it has its own revolutionary history and its own pride. I'm glad to see the Prime Minister went to Mexico, but mainly it's not a matter of making a partnership with them. It's to emulate their leader, who doesn't go to Washington and sit in a chair and allow the president to make jokes around her. She has sufficient self-respect that she does not do that. Stay out of the White House. It's in poor shape these days. It's become, as somebody said, rather tacky. So at any rate, I'm glad we covered the matter today on Rwanda. And it is, as people want to know about that country, it is accepting deportees from the United States who are described as, by the American government, as barbaric murderers, etc. And they said, yes, we'll take them. And incidentally, Mr. Museveni, president of Uganda, has done the same thing. And on a Monday, his foreign minister said, no, we're not interested. And why would we take people who are called barbaric? Why would we take murderers? He said that on a Monday. On the Tuesday, he said, yes, we're going to take them. So the Trumpism is like a bowling ball knocking over all these people with medals on their chest and crowns in their head. They will do as they're told. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. Pedro has guided us through all this, and we're grateful. See you next week.